Hello! Before we dive into this episode, I want to tell you about a series of career events being run by Food Matters Live in November 2022. It's a great opportunity for students from the fields of engineering, nutrition, and food science to network with other graduates and industry leaders and to learn essential skills that are going to help them shape the future. It's also a fantastic opportunity for companies to partner with us and meet those top graduates who are shaping the future of the industry. As if that wasn't enough, we'll also be recording some live episodes of this podcast at the events, and so you'll get to see what really happens behind this microphone. This is part of a series of live events we're planning, starting in London on the 1st and 2nd of November, and in Birmingham on the 7th of November. If you're running a course and think your students might be interested, or if you work in the food and drinks industry and would like the opportunity to meet these potential employees of the future, do please send us an email to info@foodmatterslive.com or go to our website, foodmatterslive.com, and search career events. Now, here's the podcast. Hello, you're listening to Career Conversations, a series that's part of the Food Matters Live podcast. I'm Alicia Roche, a chef and food journalist, and together we'll meet experts in cooking, mixology, the environment, psychology, branding, social media, and all sorts, as we learn about the surprisingly varied roles that go way beyond the kitchen. On today's pod, we're meeting Nat Cooper, who is an expert in all things food and drink startups. She mentors and shares knowledge with young founders, and she also works with Simply Roasted Crisps, which she says are the best tasting healthy crisps in the world. Nat is the first to admit she didn't mean to end up working in this sector. She actually studied property, but ended up working for a then little-known drinks brand called Vita Coco, and well, the rest is history. I'll be back at the end with some key info and wisdom from Nat about startups or getting into mentoring other people. Plus, stay listening till the end for a special discount code so you can try her fabulous new crisps for yourself. But for now, settle in and enjoy the podcast.
I knew I wanted to learn how to surf. I knew yoga was very good for mindfulness, and I just thought it'd be a really amazing experience to be able to do a combination of that whilst trying to help them. And I wrote to a bunch of surf and yoga schools. One of them got back to me saying that I could come and stay with them for free if I could help them get more set up with UK customers. And I booked a one-way flight and went.
Nice to meet you and put a face to the name at last, because of course you were kind enough to help me with a recent article I wrote for Food Matters Live about young people wanting to get into food and drink startups. Is that your area? Is that what you do?
Yeah, I actually didn't even realise that it was something that you could actually build a career out of when I was looking at, you know, possibilities and universities and stuff. So yeah, glad I found it, and I've been in it for about 11 years now.
With your current role, what would you say your job title is, if there's such a thing? Because I know you do lots of different stuff.
So yeah, probably two types of roles that I'm doing at the moment. Firstly, I am a freelance consultant for founders and young startups. So a lot of that is more on the mentoring side and sort of sharing knowledge. And I guess my other role is actually within specifically within a food and drink brand. It's called Simply Roasted Crisps, and I head up the out of home part of their sales team.
Now, I saw that on your LinkedIn profile, OOH in big capital letters. What does that mean?
Yeah, so out of home is basically a way of identifying, I guess, types of a type of sector that you sell products to. So obviously, if you imagine within the food and drink, there's lots of different areas that you could sell and place your product in, and it's usually split up amongst different people within the sales team just so that someone's a little bit more specialist in that area. So for me, all my sort of previous career roles and expertise does tend to sit within out of home, which is usually a combination of wholesale selling to independents and then food service selling more to some of the, I guess, mainstream catering opportunities that are in the market.
Another thing I really liked when I was having a little stalk of your LinkedIn is that it seems to me you've had a bit of it's a non-linear way into the world of food and drink. It's a bit of a wibbly wobbly CV. Can you tell me what you originally studied and what you thought you were going to end up doing?
Yeah, so I touched on it briefly right at the beginning of this, that when I was actually coming out of school and thinking about, you know, where did my passion lie? Where could I see myself in 5-10 years time? And at the time, I was really interested within the property market and the property sector. So I ended up doing real estate management at university, with the idea being that following that degree, you end up going into either surveying on the commercial side, or you could go into estate agency on the residential side. And following doing that degree and it being quite tough in the job market and super competitive in the job market when I graduated, I ended up just trying to explore a couple of other industries and stumbled across a position within a food and drink brand, which was Vitacoco, that ended up being my kind of first entry into it. So definitely not where I was expecting to go, but more because I didn't know it was an opportunity versus not necessarily being passionate in food and drink at that time.
But actually, when you went to Vitacoco, it wasn't this massive multi-billion pound company. What was it like when you first got there, and what kind of jobs did they get you doing?
It was quite an interesting one. I sort of had the awareness of the product, of it being, you know, a really exciting, different, almost functional drink, and one of the first sort of functional drinks that I was aware of in the UK. But didn't know so much about, you know, how it was produced, many of the other benefits that it also has. So much like most entry-level roles, I think my first role there officially was sort of office manager. You end up getting into everything and anything to do with the day-to-day running of the business. And when I first joined, the business obviously was quite large in America and had come over to the UK to launch into the UK. And I think they'd been running or live in accounts for about 12 to 18 months when I joined. So I was the fourth person that they hired in the UK. And it was an unreal experience. I mean, the people that I ended up joining, joining as part of the team, even back then, I'm still in touch with some of them now, because it just felt such a unique experience within food and drink. But yeah, the role in itself was a mixture of everything across social media, organising samples, heading up and setting up all the events, the shows, inbound customer service, anything and everything really, just there to sort of help the team grow the business really.
Yeah, I think the first I heard about it was Madonna was an early investor, and then suddenly all the papers and magazines were writing about that. Did you ever get any interaction with Madge?
No, very. I think one of the main things where we sort of had some really good interaction, it was just quite fun to be a part of, was we were providing some of our drinks for London Fashion Week events. And if just by flashing a business card that said Vitacoco, I could get into quite a lot of the VIP areas within London Fashion Week. And that was a very unique experience. And I felt very, very cool and important at the grand old age of about 23.
So you were at Vitacoco for about 3 years. First of all, why would you leave such a cool company? And then where did you go next and what did you do?
Yeah, it's a really good question, actually. I think within a sort of sales career, there's a particular path that you sort of tend to go through, especially when you're more within the out-of-home section of sales for a particular brand. And I'd kind of worked my way up to, I guess, a pretty good level within out of home, but actually I wanted to take that next step, but there wasn't an opportunity for that step at the time that I was seeking it. I also think that I had really enjoyed my time there, but actually just on a personal note, had actually found moving to London quite an intense process. I grew up in the middle of nowhere in Sussex countryside, and even though I'd been to uni, I think 3 years of London life and a very busy, you know, all in work environment got a little bit too much, and I actually ended up not taking a role within London. I actually moved to Morocco for 6 months. So I think it was a mixture of wanting that development, but not sure how long it would take me to sort of get there based on what the business actually needed and the availability of the role at the time, but also that London reset and needing to just escape it for a bit to then come back and realise where I wanted to go next.
I mean, I grew up in London and I get sick of London sometimes and like to escape, but I've never actually like gone and moved to Morocco. What did you do there? Were you just having an extended holiday or were you actually working out there?
No, I was actually working out there. So I realised off the back of knowing that I'd sort of reached the end of Vita Coco and trying to figure out where I maybe could take the skills that I've learned and where I wanted to go next, I knew I needed to take myself sort of out of the UK and plant myself in a completely different scenario in order to be able to just have that headspace. And I actually ended up reaching out to quite a lot of yoga and surf businesses based out in Morocco because I knew I wanted to learn how to surf. I knew yoga was very good for mindfulness and I just thought that'd be a really amazing experience to be able to do a combination of that whilst trying to help them on the business development side of things to attract more people from the UK.
When you came back to the UK from Morocco, what did you do next?
So I actually ended up looking at some other jobs and stumbling across a relatively new coffee company that was trying to gain more visibility and traction within sort of offices and online subscriptions. So I actually ended up doing about sort of 6 months or a contract piece of contract work for them when I came back, and I'd set that up so that when I returned I had a couple of weeks and then was starting with them, which was really cool.
See, again, I'm hearing you planned this. It's not, people talk about, oh, you're so lucky, you seem to have gone from Morocco into another great job, but actually you thought about how it was all going to work out.
Yeah, I think the best thing, and I've actually said this to lots of friends as well, where they've maybe, you know, kind of gone into their first role but it's not necessarily what they wanted to be in or where their passion sort of lies, but they're a bit stuck on the type of job or the type of organisation that they'd want to work for. And the way that I've always done it is pick an area that's either a hobby of yours or something that you invest in yourself day to day, whether it be time or money. So I know I love food and drink. What are the products and the, you know, the things that I eat and drink on a regular basis that I love, so that if I found a company that was one of those products, the chances are I'd feel way more engaged and I'd be able to sell it better because I believe in it. And that's always worked really well for me, is just thinking about, okay, what are the products and within food and drink that I really like, or what's the size of business that I really like, where can I sort of add the most value but also learn something maybe different from the previous role, and very much reaching out to a lot of them to see what the opportunity is and whether or not they've got something that I, you know, that they need from me or that I can learn from them. So yeah, always kind of go after it but be quite specific, already knowing that you're gonna enjoy it if they do turn around and say yes, we'd love to have you.
So were you carrying on for a long period of time working with these small brands? When did you decide to kind of become the freelance consultant you are now?
Yeah, so I actually, looking back at it, I was actually sort of doing a bit on-off freelance work for some other brands when I was working at Doisy and I even loosely remember at Vita Coco just sharing experience and sharing knowledge that might be a roadblock for somebody else just because they purely don't understand what the key, you know, expectations are or what the key facts are versus, you know, them understanding how to kind of build the business and what the foundations need, but they just need those bits of detail. So I was actually on and off doing freelance work in the evenings, or, you know, meeting up with people on a weekend just to have a quick chat about things for a couple of years. And then I got made redundant in the pandemic with no option of furlough. And even though it was the worst time, it seemed like the worst time to launch into a freelance consulting business, I knew that I actually, one, really enjoyed it because I'd kind of done it often, you know, off and on for the past couple of years, but also two, I knew that there was value in my experiences and what I'd actually managed to achieve over the past couple of years that I knew was valuable to people that just didn't know and needed that knowledge. So yeah, I went straight into that off the back of the pandemic, and it's been great.
I mean, it's fantastic to be your own boss for sure. How did you know how to put together your own business? Obviously, you're fantastic at knowing what makes food and drinks brands tick and what sells them to people. But who did you look to for advice, if anybody, to set up your own thing?
Yeah, it was actually a really interesting, and I won't lie, tough sort of first couple of months from that initial redundancy. Obviously, the unknown of what that was going to, you know, what the pandemic was going to do for food and drink. But I think I knew that I actually had a really good network of people on LinkedIn. So I'd actually always been really active on it, but I just ramped it up in terms of making new connections, asking for advice from maybe investors within food and drink, people that had started businesses that had then gone on to grow. You know, what were the things that actually were really useful for them to know back when they were beginning, and me sort of trying to tailor that and try and find the common questions that are asked by people that have started food and drink businesses. Where do they get stuck? What are the main roadblocks and the problem areas? I did quite a lot of webinars with Bread and Jam. That's obviously an amazing resource for people that are within food and drink and wanting to start business there, and that was really awesome to be given that opportunity so early on and then get that visibility. Reaching out to the guys at Mission Ventures as well, just to understand, you know, where their businesses or maybe some of their founders tend to get stuck, and whether or not I could help, you know, kind of fill that gap with content. But I actually really just started writing content on LinkedIn with the pure focus being that it was going to share a small nugget of knowledge that I knew would be useful to the person that I would then be trying to work with.
Your main, or one of your main current clients, is Simply Roasted. Is this a brand that you've actually been involved in from the start? Like, are you one of the founders? Tell me about Simply Roasted.
I would say they're more than, sounds very cheesy, but I'd say that they're more than just a client to me. So I'm hopefully planning on working with them in the long term a bit more permanently. I've actually been with them for coming up to 2 years next month. So there's no founders within that business. It's actually one of the reasons why I was interested in it, because it's just so different from every other founder-led business that I've always worked on. It's actually based on a piece of technology that was developed to cook a potato and make a crisp that can give you the crunch and texture and flavour and indulgence of a fried crisp, but actually, due to the technology and the way that it's cooked, it can actually tick the box on a lot of the health demands that we're experiencing from consumers. So the piece of technology was acquired by an investment group called Pilot Light, and then there's a separate team that have then been hired that did a lot of the concept and the product development and the go-to-market plan across branding, marketing and sales, and then obviously operations. And we launched that in January, and now it's obviously focused on building brand and growth from January onwards. So it's the first time that I feel like a founder or a co-founder, because there was only a small group of us that were working on that brand development piece. But it's also just been so amazing to be part of the pre-launch and really getting an understanding of what it takes to launch a business and the amount of things that need to happen before you get to market.
It's me again. So that was Nat, who, like so many of our guests, mentions how luck has shaped her career. But to me, it sounds like she took every opportunity that came her way and she planned her every move. Nat took a risk when she left Vita Coco. It was super successful at the time, but she was keen to keep learning new skills and to change scene, which she did as she went off to Morocco. This much needed reset helped her to work out what she wanted to do next with her life. Now, we've discussed startups a lot here on the pod, and I always say you should try to have about £10,000 set aside for your startup. This could be in loans, grants, crowdfunding, or if you're lucky, you could use your own savings. We know it's hard out there, so go to foodmatterslive.com and check out an article called The Ultimate Guide to Setting Up Your Food and Drinks Brand. It does exactly what it says on the tin, and we will show you how to raise that cold, hard cash. Now, details of how to get another good bargain, a 30% discount on some of those lovely Simply Roasted crisps. All you need to do is go to the Simply Roasted website, select the products you want to buy, and use this special discount code FML30%, written as numbers. Simple as that. Thanks so much to Nat for sharing her fun and non-linear career. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Till next time. Goodbye. Before you go, just a reminder about those career events. They're happening in London and Birmingham on the 1st, 2nd and 7th of November. For more information, email info@foodmatterslive.com or go to our website, foodmatterslive.com, and search career events.